coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report for Monday, August 7th, 2023. I'm Doug Hagman. I want to thank each and every one of you for your support, your sharing this broadcast, for all that you do. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to the supporters who were on the conference call last evening, or in some cases in the afternoon, depending on your time zone. A little message to all of you. What you had referenced, the primary subject you spoke about, and other people are mentioning this to me as well, where there seems to be some sort of thinning of the veil, where you, out of your periphery, your peripheral vision, you're catching glimpses of what appear to be figures or partial figures, and you know, it seems to be on the rise. Well, we're going to be talking about that today. With me right now is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, Q-Files. Folks, if you're not getting his private intelligence briefing, you need to do that right away. Stay ahead of the curve in all of the information, and that's quality, as well as all of his books, his DVDs. You know, I saw his work on elephants, and I'm going to tell you, you talk about some great, great work. That Jesus, the premise of the promise, as well as the various conferences. I'm going to tell you what, you can't go wrong with anything from stevequayle.com. And of course, Jesse, the head of the expeditions out there, finding artifacts, both of them here with me. I'm going to turn this right over to Steve. Steve, thank you so very much, sir.
Oh, thank you. And we want to invite everyone to join us in probably one of the most well-documented breakthroughs in the understanding of fallen angels, demons, and orbs. Orbs as in circular presentations and manifestations of all sizes that are being seen worldwide, and different entities as in fallen angels, demons coming out of those orbs, those spheres. And I want everybody to understand something, too. With the Las Vegas orb, it's the biggest physical ball in the world. There's a message being sent right there already. And imagine, I don't know, I think I may have sent Eric a picture of that, or we can just look up Las Vegas orb. It's interesting. They projected the Earth, Mars, and the Moon. Now, this is really critical, Doug. They could have projected, you know, sing along with the world and everybody will be happy. No, they chose the Earth, Mars, and the Moon. We may have time to get into that. But Jesse G is the director of antiquities for Gen 6. He's the expedition leader. And nobody I know knows more about orbs. When we first met years ago, the orbs and his encounter with them off of the Baja Peninsula, Jesse's in Mexico, and the island, the Coronado Islands, which we broke the story and Doug caused all the trouble. And this is important for people to understand, that it's an underwater joint alien U.S. secret military base. And even lately, Jesse, and I think I sent them to you, but even the alien glyphs are talking about the fallen ones expecting the Coronado Islands to absolutely be revealed for what they are. And they've ordered all humans off the island in a given amount of space. Now, maybe we'll get to that. But Jesse, deal with the orbs and take this whole, if you will, presentation from where you were, because you were talking about the sea and everything that you basically, you live on the coast, but everything you're seeing is coming out of the water, going into the water. So take it from there.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Doug. I want to begin by narrating specifically as to what it is that we're seeing, what it is that we're identifying, not only flying through the skies and transcending, descending, and, you know, operating, moving from one dimension to the other. But I want to deal with the origin of where it is that they're coming from. But before I get to that, you know, I just want people to know that this information that we're sharing with them is not information that I'm receiving, you know, from sitting around the house watching YouTube videos all day. This is information. This is information that I'm getting based upon my own observation through my own investigations. Fortunately for me, I have been able to get a little bit ahead of the situation and knowing how to identify through the scriptures. And I'm going to share this with the people because the basis of all my conclusions not only are from my own personal analysis and observation from studying these entities exiting and entering and moving, hovering all over the waters and into the city boundaries and populations and doing many other things that I have been witnessing them for years. This is not something that we picked up just, you know, a year ago. Steve, you know that the first time I met you, the first thing I told you was about my encounter, and I didn't understand what was going on then. But because of the increase and in the navigating of the increase and the acceleration of the intensity of what it is that we're dealing, the manifestation of these entities, I understand now. You know, I understand sufficiently.
Jesse, hold a minute. Yeah. Eric, will you put up one of the first ones showing the three or four orbs? So we need to set a visual for the people to understand. So go ahead, Eric, and put up one of the visual, one of the short movies, 40 seconds or whatever it is, the one you just showed. I think it's important, Doug, and just we show people what we're talking about again, just to refresh your visual memory.
All right. Stand by here. There it is.
Go ahead, Jesse, and talk over that.
Okay, so basically what we're looking at right there is we're looking at five fallen angels, and in my estimation, based upon my observation and extensive of investigation of observing these entities, these are the five ruling entities that are in control of this area. They always pop up in different shape, different form, different algorithm. Like right now, they're you see them as the balls, as in balls of fire. And just to give a little reinforcement to what it is that I'm saying, so that we know and we understand that these entities and their origin is explained completely, fully, and thoroughly throughout the whole Bible. The Bible says that God makes his angels ministers and his ministers the flame of fire. So what we're witnessing right there, not only based upon what I've extracted from the scripture, but it's the basis of my conclusion is also by having personal encounters with these entities. So that right there is five fallen angels hovering in operation over the islands. The night I took that video, it was unexpectedly, but the thing is that there is more disembodied spirits coming out of those waters from the islands that move and operate in the same fashion as they do, and they're moving and operating as orbs.
I think it's important for people to understand the lights on the lower screen, bottom of the screen, that is the Coronado Islands as Jesse's looking to the west. And I think it's important that, Doug, people understand this, that this area north of this area is where a lot of the encounters with the Tic Tacs, and there's the Coronado Islands. You can see the waves breaking on the shore, but thank you, Eric. And the thing is if people say, well, those are just flares. No, they're not. They change direction and they hang, literally, they suspend. What is the tail? A lot of people asked me after our last presentation, or actually, you know, this image, what do you make of the tails? Because when you look at these, you know, obviously they're going from different patterns. But again, I want to make sure people understand what you see in the background. This is in the area that the U.S. Navy's F-18s encountered all the strange phenomena that started and broke open the whole public UFO narrative. So, Jesse, what are the tails? And then take it from there.
Well, the last time that we briefly covered this, Steve, it was we didn't have an answer as to what the tales were then until we began to study some of the artifacts and the glyphs that are engraved in the artifacts. And the tales are a dead giveaway as to who they really are when we're using the glyphs and the images on the artifacts to reinforce what it is that we're seeing. If you know, the listeners are acclimated and they're familiar with the types of artifacts that we have and the types of artifacts that we displayed, you can clearly see that those tales are the tales of a specter. So those are the tales of a specter of each entity. If you look up specter, if you Google specter, you will see the form of an entity, but each entity in its own has its own tale, and each entity is operating independent from the other. So that's basically what that is right there. That's what we're looking at right there at this moment.
Do you have ready to pull up, or do we have an artifact that can show that?
Yeah, I sent you the artifact on yesterday on the disc. It's on there.
Okay.
There's about four fallen angels, you know, doing their display on this artifact, and they have those same tales on there.
Yeah, if you'd put that one up, Eric, there you go. Do you want to explain for everyone what they're seeing there?
I can't see the artifact.
Well, in essence, it's the one with the two alien elongated head beings, and there's the compass. You know what I'm saying?
It's the disc?
Yes.
Okay, I got that memorized. Okay, so basically, on the front end where we see the fallen angels, they're in form and operation of specters. If you notice, you're going to be able to see the tails.
Yep.
But the most important thing to put in observation when we're analyzing this artifact, if you notice, the specters, the fallen angels, using the tails, are being released from orbs. It's not that the orb is something that they embody. The orb is their default form of operation when they are operating on a molecular level. The reason I use this term, them operating on a molecular level, is because when we break down atoms, and before an atom is turned into a molecule, the essence of an atom is a bunch of little orbs. You got the nucleus, the protons, and the neutrons. They're all functioning together, but operating in the smallest form that matter can possibly be measured. And the thing about it is, one of the biggest areas that I'm looking into right now, and this plays along with the water and the elements that are also around the disc. If you notice, you can see the symbols of elements around the disc, which they play also an extremely important role based upon their movement of operation and manifestation. Let me back up a little bit. So that I can bring more clarity as to what I'm trying to convey right now at this moment. First and foremost, we need to understand, this is something that I would like to really communicate to all of the listeners, Steve and Doug, is that Satan, Lucifer, and these fallen angels, and every vile, defiled, bastard, Rephaim, evil disembodied spirit that follows in the wake of their path, none of them are the creators of anything. All of these guys, everything, every ordinance and every ceremonial ordinance and every practice that they utilize through witchcraft, because they can't move here. They cannot move on this planet unless they're being assisted by human beings. Let me give a perfect example. God is the creator. God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ are the creator of every single universal law in this universe that is governed by the spiritual laws. Meaning, these universal laws cannot stand in place unless they're properly governed by the universal laws that stand against this. I'm going to use some scripture to back this up. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the word says that for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. These are the biggest universal laws that God put in place. So there is nothing that can operate outside of that. And God is the creator of every practice. If we take a look of, if we take a look at the Old Testament, when God the Father gave the instructions to Moses to the ordinances in, inside the tabernacle, the incense, the bowls, the bread, the sprinkling on the blood on the altar, the Urim and the Thummim, which are crystals and are being used today by New Agers in witchcraft, the incense, all of these ordinances and all of these practices have been hijacked from the kingdom of heaven by the kingdom of darkness and have been corrupted and are still being put in, into use and into play in order for them to manifest themselves wherever it is that they choose to operate through the assistance of human beings. Here's another example. God will never intervene unless we call out to him. And it's the same thing with these entities. They cannot move and operate within our three-dimensional physical realm where we operate under our five senses unless they are given a leeway and an opening for them to move and to operate. This is why it is so important. This is why it is so important for us to take a look. And I go in, and I'm not recommending that anybody do this, because I do this because I know that I'm called to do this. And I'm not the type of person that goes seeking for encounters. As a matter of fact, my desire, as I always tell God, is, Lord, why am I always encountering these entities? Why are these entities always showing up? Why am I always seeing them? Why are they going through my house? I want an encounter with you, Lord. I don't want encounters with these disembodied spirits. I don't want encounters with these fallen angels. I want an encounter with you. But the thing is, Steve, is that what I fail to realize at the moment is that when I have an encounter with these entities, the very fact that they are unable to hurt me and touch me is an encounter with God in itself, because they're powerless to do anything and to do unto me what they wish that they could do. So
hold it right, Jesse, hold it right there. What you're saying is and this is critical because of the title of this program, you are experiencing Ephesians 6, literally fighting against these terrifying entities. But when you strip them of their ability, you know your authority in Jesus. And that's exactly what God is teaching you to teach others. I mean, me included, all of us, is that there's an authority in the Word of God that the fallen angels, principalities, I mean, that's what Jesus said. He said he gives us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So that's a really important thing. Go on.
Okay, so just like you mentioned right now, Steve, you know, the Bible paints a pretty clear picture of the supernatural realm for us. And whether people are aware of it or not, or whether they choose to believe it or not, the unseen realm is teeming with activity. All around us is spiritual warfare for our soul, as these entities are being assisted by and this is also a big point that people need to understand, is that they're being assisted by witches, sorcerers, and warlocks. And I want to get to the I want to bring the listeners into an area where I'm going to point out to them something that I believe has faded into the background, that I'm going to bring back to the forefront, that so that people can put their focus on it and they can know and understand. The last time that we covered this program, the main topic, the premise of our pursuit to bring to the listeners was the frequency and structure of how these entities are moving and how they're operating. But the thing is, Steve, is that first and foremost, I would like to people to know and to understand that frequency begins in the spirit, and structure is a manifestation of a result of the frequency in the spirit. And these frequencies by which these entities are moving and operating they cannot be successful unless they are being assisted by some type of witch, sorcerer, or a warlock. You see, everything that we know in this world, the way that God has designed it, exists in a balance. It's an antithetical parallelism: good, evil, night, day, male, female, wet, dry, so on, etc. We as children of God, we are the essence and the example, as it is written in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, I believe. It says that Jesus Christ has made us kings and priests unto our Father. You see, we are kings because we are to rule, to reign our area through the Spirit, making sure that nothing is moving and operating outside of what God has ordained. In John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus said that anybody who enters the sheepfold any other way other than through the gate is a thief and a robber. That means if somebody is entering and accessing the spirit realm in an illegal fashion, they are a thief and a robber. And we as believers need to know and understand that the witches and the warlocks that are operating from every single neighborhood worldwide. This is not just one area. This is why so much darkness is moving and operating through everywhere. Why? Because they have human proxies that are assisting them, using these occult practices, allowing them the leeway that is necessary. But I want to take the listener's focus.
Before you go on, Jesse, if I can just, I don't mean to interrupt, but let me ask a question here. You were talking about frequencies. By the way, Alex Jones had Jacob Chansley on, talking, incredibly intelligent man, talking about frequencies. And of course, Steve has taught me, and being with Steve, learning that harmonics and mathematics basically govern our world. Are you telling me, okay, just to be clear, the frequencies that you're referencing, because we are beings that have a certain frequency. Our DNA is like an antenna, a transmitter and receiver. I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but are you saying that what we're witnessing are being facilitated down interdimensionally by way of frequency? Someone, you know my question? I mean,
yes, I know what you're trying to say, Doug.
Thank you.
Let me try to bring some clarity, in addition to what you just mentioned right now. And the frequency, like frequency, the way that these move. Okay, when you go online and you see a real legitimate sighting, a UFO video, or you know, an entity, a ball of fire, ball of light, the tic-tac, et cetera, you know, moving in operation. These things are not going for a walk in a park. You know, they're not like us. Yes, they are sentient, but they're not focused on what we're focused. They're focused, their main focus is our destruction. And they're operating under a frequency. When you see a UFO, a fallen angel, an orb, whether alone or in the company of others, they are operating within a frequency. And the mere presence of how we are seeing them in our three-dimensional realm, because these are interdimensional entities. And in order for them to enter into our dimension and operate in this three-dimensional realm where we operate under the five senses, they need to have our permission. They can't operate without us giving them the green light to do so. And this is one of the things why I want to focus on the ocean. I believe that the ocean is that 80% of all of the activity that we are seeing worldwide, whether we're seeing it inland or in the mountains or anywhere else, I believe that its origin is the ocean. The ocean is 71% of the globe, and there's too much unexplored deep, dark waters where these entities can move and operate under these frequencies. Now, just to give the people a clear I want to paint a better picture as to what it is that I'm saying in frequency. But before I get into this, the main thing that the reason why I know that the Lord led me to what it is that I'm about to say right now is because my main question to him is I've been dealing with these entities for almost 10 years now, 9 to be exact. And throughout the years before I had a minimal understanding as to what it is that I was witnessing, what it is that I'm encountering, and what it is that is happening all around us, and it's continuing to increase, and the activity is continuing to accelerate. You know, of course, because I'm in the middle of it, I'm in the trenches alongside, partnered up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say one more thing before I even go further. Jesus Christ is Lord, and I'm not a crazy person. You know what I mean? I follow the Lord, and I use Bible. I don't look to wrap my presuppositions around the Word of God. I look to the Word of God to wrap around my presuppositions and experiences. There's no other place that we can look for answers and to find the truth in order for us to know what it is that we're dealing with. Now, my question to God was like, Lord, what am I dealing with? Who are these entities? Who are they? And you know, and this was 3 years ago, Steve, and you know this, you know, the Lord, you know, kept showing me the number 33, the number 33, 33. 33. I was like, Lord, you know, what are you saying to me? 33. So I started investigating, looking into it. And of course, we're going to start off by, you know, the famous scripture, you know, call unto me, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, call unto me, you know, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. And, you know, that's exactly what I did. I said, Lord, I'm calling unto you to reveal to me who these entities are and what it is that they're doing. And let's not forget that I'm trying to cover what it is that we're talking about on the basis of frequency and structure. Frequency begins in the spirit. Structure is a manifestation of a result of frequency. And as I continue to look into the 33, strenuous nights of, you know, seeking, and it doesn't end for me, because this doesn't finish until the Lord calls me home. This is what we do, and this is what we're about. You know, we're about fighting these entities in the best way that we can. And right now we're fighting them and combating them by exposing them. So,
hey, Jesse, that's really critical. And Doug, this is the point of Gen 6. The reason we do what we do, our prime directive from the Lord Jesus Christ, is to teach his people the things they know not of. And Gen 6 is, and I mean, this is, We're centering around Jesus. Everything I've received is from Jesus. Everything Jesse's received is from Jesus. Everything Dan Holdings has received is from Jesus as it applies to this. I think it's critical that this is what equipping the saints is all about, because the witches, the warlocks, and the absolute bloodthirsty, blood-drinking, human-consuming, cannibalistic Satanists and Luciferians, they know what the people of God don't know, but the people of God need to know. Is that an accurate statement, Jesse?
That's extremely accurate, Steve. And speaking of the witches and the sorcerers and the warlocks, is I want to put a focus on the 33. Now everybody knows this. This is common knowledge that the Freemasons, that the highest level of their peak is the 33rd degree Freemason, and this is where it begins. We need to understand. Let me just give a real quick 101 on the Masonic order and the role that they're playing here on this earth and why it's so important. You see, the Masonic order is not independent from the Illuminati, the Rothschild, the Bilderberg, so on, etc. All of these demonic occult societies that we know are children of Lucifer himself. Every every person who enters into any one of these secret societies, any one of these families, cannot enter into these families unless he is, first and foremost, a 33rd degree Freemason. That means every single one, it doesn't matter which family you're, which family we're making reference to or which one we're focusing on, every single one of them comes from the 33 degree Masonic order. Okay, so the Masonic order and everything that they represent, these are the most, the reason why I say they're the most powerful outside of God's children, of God's real children, is the reason why I say they're the most powerful operating, the most powerful witches, sorcerers, and warlocks that are operating, opening the way, whether it be through Hollywood, through entertainment, through the corporates, through corporations or through industries, you name it. The whole system that this world functions under has been conglomerated and monopolized by these entities that have been given the power. That the whole structure of what it is that we're dealing with, they have been given the power by these fallen angels, these orbs. They have been seduced through immortality and just riches and you know, to the desires of the flesh. But the role that they're playing is that they have capitalized in every area, in every major area that the world outside of them is attracted to. So by the witchcraft that they're working, whether we're talking about the food they have contaminated, the medication, the witchcraft they're putting in the movies, the witchcraft that's being put out to the people through the music, you name it, every single major structure that has been provided, that has been and is provided by the world system right now at this moment, is operating and releasing witchcraft on the masses. That is frequency. But we need to understand that the fallen angels, the orbs, the aliens, whatever it is that you want to call them, they cannot function. They are unable to function outside of what these witches, sorcerers, and warlocks are doing. They are opening the way for them. So let me focus a little bit on frequency so that we could get a broader understanding of what it is that I'm trying to communicate. Everybody knows, we all know, this is common knowledge, that when Lucifer rebelled, a third of the angels cast their lot with him. A third of God's angels cast their lot with them. And everybody also knows, it's no mystery and it's no secret, that the equivalent to one third is 0.3333, so on, etc. Now, according to ancient Jewish historical document, like the Book of Enoch, and I'm not saying that Enoch is canon, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but if it was good enough for Jude, Christ, and Peter to quote from, it's good enough for me to quote from, so I'm going to quote from it. And everybody knows that the first contact that man had with fallen angels, orbs, extraterrestrials, or however it is that you want to identify them, this is their origin, was either at the base or at the summit of Mount Hermon. Now, when punching into the meridian parallel at 33.33 degrees north to 33.33 degrees east, the schematic will take you directly to the summit of Mount Hermon, where 200 watcher-class fallen angels descended and abandoning their first estate and bound themselves to an oath to move forward and sin against God and cohabitate and reproduce with human women. Frequency and structure. The sequence of their frequency is their movement and their intention. The structure of their frequency and their sequence is the manifestation of what they did. Now, it doesn't end there. Jesus himself, in response to this frequency, in response to this sequence of frequency and numbers, he himself, not because they did it first, but because they knew through the prophecies that Jesus one day would come this way. That's why they began manipulating the seed. And we also need to understand, and I know that the listeners know this, is that the first rebellion, the one third of the angels who rebelled, they are independent from the 200 watcher class of angels who descended and rebelled over Mount Hermon, but they're operating under the same frequency. No, frequency and structure. Jesus, in response to this game, to this frequency of numbers and structure, He himself was born of a human virgin woman, whose ministry lasted 3 years, was crucified on April 3rd on a Sunday at 3 p.m. at the age of 33 in the year of AD 33 and resurrected on the third day when he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that were written against us, which were contrary to us, taking them out of the way, nailing to the cross, having spoiled these principalities and powers, making an open show of them, triumphing over them in it, reestablishing and reconstituting our authority here on earth, in order for us to rule, to reign, to subdue the land, and to have dominion the way that he intended for us to do so. It's not finished there, though. It doesn't end there, Stephen, Doug, because if we take a look, if we take a look, it doesn't end there, because if we take a look as to what is written, if we take a look as to what is to come based upon what is written by the Apostle John in the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 8, using this same frequency and structure as a response to God's judgment to these fallen angels, these orbs, the message is made clear. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, I believe, the first angel steps up and blows the trumpet, and it's followed by what? Hail, fire mixed with blood. And what? A third of all the trees are burned up, and all the green grass is burned up. Now, I have a theory why the Lord begins with the vegetation. But if we look at the second angel who steps up and blows the second trumpet, it's followed by a great mountain burning with fire, falling from heaven, and it's thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea becomes blood, and a third of all the living creatures in the sea die, and a third of all the ships in the sea are destroyed. Now, I could also get into details on why I believe that the Lord is beginning his judgments through these trumpets in this way, in the way that they're released specifically at these entities, being the ocean and the creatures and the ships in the sea. But right now, I want the people to see the frequency of God's response to these same entities. The third angel blows his trumpet, and something like a great star falls from heaven, blazing like a torch, falling on a what? On a third, again, the rivers of water, and on the springs of water, and a third of the waters become bitter, many people dying because of the bitter of the wormwood waters. But it doesn't end there. The fourth angel blasts his trumpet, and immediately the sun, a third of the sun is struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a what? A third of their life might be darken, and also likewise a third of the night. Fast forward with me a couple of verses into the next chapter, and the sixth angel moves in procession to blow his trumpet using the same frequency as he releases the blast from the trumpet, and immediately a voice from the four corners of the golden altar before God is heard saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who have been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and a year. To what? To kill one third of mankind. If we take a look at the frequency and structure of everything we have just reviewed in observation of these verses, they testify to my contention of the 33% reduction aimed not only at these fallen angels, Stephen, Doug, but including every single other entity that is operating within the boundaries of the same, within the boundaries and constraints of the same frequency and structure, whose default form of operation and algorithm is as the orb.
Okay, Steve.
Now, what he's saying is so critical, because Jesus said the whole world lies in the evil one. That means it makes its presence. I mean, the whole world is under Satan's control until the righteous are reinstituted. And this is the purpose, Doug, of allowing Jesse and I and Gen 6 to come on and explain to you. If there's anything that destroys Christians faster and beyond God's desire for them is what his word declares. His people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and not because they don't get it, meaning they're not exposed to the knowledge, such as what we're sharing, is they reject it. And Jesse, I want you to show, and I think this is critical, I want you to show, I'm sorry, we'll have Eric put it up. Eric, the multicolored orbs, and I want you to explain what people are seeing there, because this is just in the last, 48 hours, 72 hours?
The images I just sent right now?
Yeah.
No, those images, I took those 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. But the other ones I took in the last couple of days, I sent them to you. I don't think that you sent them to Eric, but I could still narrate and explain, you know, what was happening when I took.
I'm going to send what you sent me to Eric. Go ahead and explain this. Jesse, go ahead and explain.
Okay. So we're looking at one image or two of them together?
Just one right now.
Okay, so basically what we're looking at right now is we're looking at, I believe it's a sequence of 5 to 6 orbs. When I took this image, once again, they were moving under the water. But, you know, the light that they radiate, okay, and another, before I even get into this, I want the people to know and to understand that what we're seeing right there, those are disembodied spirits. Those are not fallen angels right there. And people are going to be like, well, how do you know? It's not in the Bible. But that's a great response because, yeah, actually, it's not in the Bible. But hey, I'll tell you what is in the Bible is that my main thing is wanting to identify them at least to that extent. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to get to know them on a personal level or anything. But what I'm saying is that when I'm witnessing these entities move through the waters and up and into the sky out of the waters is that I want to know what it is that I'm looking at. And, you know, that was my prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, who are these colored orbs? Who are they? And this is how he let me see who they were, Steve, is that I have encountered them I'll give one brief account of how I encountered one of them. One time I was inside, my bedroom. I don't remember what I was doing. It was probably about 7 PM. And, I was exiting my bedroom. I walk fast. So I move around pretty fast and extremely energetic. And as I opened the door, you know, I didn't realize that the instant I opened the door, I seen a spirit. I seen its face. I seen its texture. I seen its shade. It was like it was like smoky water, and I seen its color. But the reason why I know it was a spirit is because of the demonic sequence of its face. And so when I look at the scriptures, in the book of Job, it tells us exactly what they're doing in the water. I've mentioned this before. And Job says that dead things are formed and tremble under waters, and they're the inhabitants thereof. But, you know, of course, I'm not saying that they're the only ones that are moving under the waters. I know that there's other creatures that are moving around, and this is one of the reasons why I made mention of everything I just quoted in the book of Revelation and the sequence and the order of how God releases his judgments. I mean, his main focus is at the waters because there's a lot of things happening in these waters that people are unaware of. And these orbs that we're looking, that we are looking at, these are disembodied spirits who at one point or another, and I know that they still can and are able to do so, embody what we would call green or gray aliens in a physical form, which to me, the bodies of these green or these gray aliens are nothing more than biological suits that are being utilized by these entities in order for them to move and operate within this three-dimensional realm. But what I believe is more important for people to know as to what it is that I seen when I captured these images is that they were going from the vessels. There's about five oil tanker vessels weighing, I think, I think they're like 270 meters in length and over 200 tons in weight. And they're stationed probably about within the parameters of 15 to 20 miles south of the Coronado Islands. And when I took these images, these entities were going from under the boats, under the vessels, under the ships, and coming up briefly over the water and slowly moving towards the islands. And they did that from 2 in the morning until 6 a.m. And that's how I captured those images right there.
So just to be clear, what we're looking at, and radio listeners, folks, go to HagmanPI.com, and you can see this, or Rumble, Brighteon. But what we're looking at are six individual orbs. These are underwater when this image was taken, right? Okay. Okay. Is there any significance to the colors? You've got one red and various hues of green and, I don't know, perhaps blue in
purple.
There. Purple, yeah.
Well, that's something that I'm still praying about, but the best answer that I could give to these right now is that they are operating under a frequency, and these are the same types of orbs that when we see, I'm going to get into the craft a little bit, because there's different types of craft that are moving above us.
Jesse, hold on, Eric. I want people to see the latest ones of the three that are very clear, because those are critical. Those are the ones you took in the last couple of days, right? The ones that, go ahead and put it up, Eric. The last thing I sent you.
Okay, it's coming right now.
It's the one, Jesse, where they're all horizontal, and you know it's the thing you sent me yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, that one was crazy right there. What happened there was that four nights ago. The thing is this, Stephen Doug, is that I dwell in the spirit realm. Like I understand like the seriousness of what it is that we're dealing here. That's a fallen angel with three disembodied spirits operating on its left and its right side. And if you notice the little fluff ball at the bottom, that's also a disembodied spirit. That is the same fallen angel. If you can see, you can see their faces. That God exposed them. I took these like 3 years ago when I was fervently seeking. You could see its face right there. I was seeking, you know, I was in one of those moments in my life, Steve, where I was, you know, how I was struggling with these things. I didn't have the strength I have now to deal with them. And I was getting attacked every single night. I was being tormented. I was having nightmares. And, you know, I was seeking the Lord, asking him, letting him know, Lord, help me out here, because I don't know where we're going with this, but this is not fun. You know, the experiences that I'm receiving through these encounters with these entities is not fun at all. I don't like it. And, but, you know, I understand now that it's that the importance of me having to go through these experiences first and foremost, so that we could know what it is that we're dealing with, and in order for me to continue and to get the victory that we get in the expeditions, and the victories that we will get in the future expeditions is that I need to defeat the enemy now. I need to defeat them in the spirit now. Because if I don't defeat them now, then they're going to come back in the future, and they're going to destroy everything I have. That's what God is showing me.
Jesse, if I can ask Steve a question. Steve, based on what you've seen that Jesse has provided to you, and folks, if you're listening to this by radio, you're looking at one bright, shiny, sun-like object in the center of the screen with two opposing objects on the on either side.
You're saying right, but if you look at the one, Doug, that would be everyone's screen right, you can see a literal face.
Yes.
If you look up at the top of the orb, like, you can see another face, and then kind of a faint face that's on top of the screen left. Eric, I'm talking about the three images, Jesse. I want the three horizontal images because I want people to see that. I just sent it to you, Eric. It's a multicolor three. They're on a horizontal plane. I don't know.
The question I was going to ask you, Steve, it seems like, you know, the southern border invasion, we're being physically invaded. But in this case, it seems like, are we being interdimensionally invaded by these?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think that's the thing, too. A good word to use is interdimensional. Okay, because when Jesse's talking about frequency, by the way, Nikola Tesla made the statement, all everything is controlled by frequency. He was certainly no follower of Jesus Christ. I want everybody to remember this, that sound preceded light. When God said, let there be light, his voice. And when you hear about the voice, and one of the things that Jesse is sharing with people is dead things, the place that the demons are terrified of is going into the abyss. Obviously, Jesus cast the demons out of the Gadarene demoniac. They went in the pigs, and the pigs couldn't stand demon possession, so they drowned. There we go. Oh, thank you, Eric. Now, Jesse, explain this, because this was just taken, I think I heard you correctly, 4 days ago?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so what happened... I mean, if you take a look at I was like excited. I have video of this, Steve, but my camera is not connecting to the Wi-Fi, and I wanted to send a video of these entities moving. I mean, they were so close to my apartment. And what was happening is I was sitting here where I am right now. I practically live in this chair, and like I mentioned earlier, is that I dwell in the spirit before I live in the physical, you know, and the reason I'm like this is because this is how God is making me. So I'm sensitive to these entities when they're moving around. And I know that, and I know when they're close. And the reason I was able to feel this one was because that's one fallen angel operating with two disembodied spirits, with two Rephaim. Why do I keep calling them Rephaim? Because that's how the Bible calls them. If you look, if you look in the Old Testament, and they mention, and the word dead is mentioned, and if it's talking of evil spirits, in the Hebrew it translates to the Rephaim, and the Rephaim is the definition to that is evil spirits. That's why this is how the Lord has showed me who they are. Now, what we're seeing is one fallen angel. That one right there is one of the five that we first seen earlier when we first started the segment. And what was interesting about this is that I was sitting here, I forgot what I was, you know, I was looking something up, and I felt the, you know, my atmosphere shift. I know the type of person that I am. I'm not depressed. I'm not oppressed. I'm not, you know, through the grace of God, I'm walking in victory. I'm walking on water, you know, through God's grace. Because I understand the importance, like it is written in the Bible, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the tearing down the strongholds. We destroy arguments, and those arguments are the arguments that are spoken against God's word and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. But what's most important after these verses is that it says that we make sure that our obedience is fulfilled so that we may be able to punish disobedience. And that's why it's so important for us to walk in victory and stay connected to Jesus so that we can be able to bind and loose in the spirit and take authority over these entities. So like I was saying, I'm sensitive to these things. And the reason I was able to feel this one is because there's two high ranking, in my opinion, they're high ranking. I wouldn't know how to, you know, give you information to back that up, but that's how I felt. That's what I get based upon the dreadful, gloomy feeling that came over me. You see, I wasn't outside looking at the stars or fixing to, you know, to capture images of anything. I was sitting here on my desk and I felt the atmosphere inside my apartment, because everything inside my apartment is controlled. Like, I know when something's moving through here, the Lord's going to let me know. Once I felt my atmosphere shift, it's like, I was like, something's wrong. So I went outside to the balcony and, immediately, I looked into the distance of the night and I seen this entity operating like, a UFO. The lights were blinking and I was kind of in shock because it was so close. And I immediately came inside and I grabbed the camera and came back outside, and it was slowly leaving, but I was able to capture these images. And one thing that I would like to share with the listeners is that what we are seeing right there with these images is, these are the primitive stages of how they move and how they function before they shift into an orb. I mean, before they shift into a craft. There's two different types of craft that I have witnessed and testified through here. We're living on the coast for 10 years now. And the first type is what we're witnessing here in these images, is that this is one fallen angel working with two disembodied spirits. And what the fallen angel will do, the white one in the center, the angel of light, what he will do is he will shift into, he's able to shift into the form of a UFO, UAP, flying saucer, whatever it is that you want to call it, and radiate that metallic gleam. And the other two entities will attach themselves on it and around it as the lights that we see. That's the origin of the craft. The other types of crafts that I've seen and still yet to be able to see them and witness them close enough are the technology that has been handed down. The technology that has been handed down by them to our rulers and those who govern over us that have actual occupants inside of it. I believe that those types of craft are an extension of who they are, like epigenetic modification. It's like saying that one of these entities has clipped his fingernail and has given it to these scientists, so they're able to modify and turn it into their technology and create what they have created in order for them to move and operate in a likewise manner.
Okay.
That's it right there.
Wow. Okay.
Well, and again, it's really kind of matter, you know, I mean, the physics, this is stuff called black physics, okay? Has nothing to do with the racial statement. Black physics is the supernatural, hidden from humankind, mathematics and God's, it's like the wonder of God's creation, but some of it's made known. And the fallen angels, I want everybody to remember this, they didn't graduate from Harvard, they just control it now. The bottom line is, these are supernaturally endowed intelligences that have watched, built civilizations, the pre-Adamic world, God judged it. But again, what's critical, Doug, and I think this is what's, you can read Ephesians 6 about where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power. The whole layout of Ephesians 6 is unseen until it becomes seen. Now Jesus said, just as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. Same thing. The earth was corrupt. These are corrupting, corrosive, evil spirits. And America is under the rule, and why? I want to address a statement. Why they're in the Baja right now, and Doug, you referred to this. We are, how do I say this, exposing Cornerstone, one of the most upsetting alien joint secret military government bases in the world. What they do underneath the water, and these things are big. When I talk about bases, I'm not talking about aircraft carriers. I'm talking about continent-sized bases, and I'm saying continent on purpose, that have existed and that evil is coming from. Then you take the invasion of all of the Chinese and everybody who's coming into the border. Look, these people are bringing foreign gods in. And America turned its back on the God, and these orbs through witchcraft, through all of the alien deception that's coming. And how is it that the switch is now thrown on worldwide where everyone's talking about aliens? You're getting testimony, and yet no one will take our evidence because, and I want to share this, because we're talking about Jesus. The reason we talk about Jesus is because the UFO narrative has been totally seized by the evil one for his purposes. So, Doug, it's like in a line of evidence. If all the evidence leads to a conclusion, then you know what the conclusion is because you followed each step of the way. This is why we have a limited amount of time. And, you know, if God touches someone's heart out there to get involved with us in a big way, and I'm not asking for donations, but somebody who can write big checks, we're being, how do I say this, fought against. And I want, Jesse, I want you to explain when we tried to pull off an operation and, you know, without going into details, how when you tried to rent a boat, how you tried to rent a helicopter, that the certain agency was there pretty much threatening or paying off. No one would touch you with a 10-foot pole to take you to the Coronado Islands. That takes balls, ladies and gentlemen, to go there in the first place. Sorry, I'm not going to spare any more words any longer. Shame on me for not letting it go earlier. But the bottom line is, I want you to explain to people what you encountered, because Doug, it's like, seriously, it's like, you know, I can't liken it to anything else, that we're dealing with Spectre and this is a James Bond movie. Go ahead, Jesse, tell what you encountered when you went to the boats and marinas. Just lay it out for people.
Yeah, well, just so the people can know, that so the listeners know, is that even though we encounter so much so much clapback and so much resistance from the enemy, at the end of the day, we are working and operating from the basis and the frequency of the living God, and just as the word says, is that no planet his can be thwarted. And and even though we get this type of resistance, we got to continue to move forward. I remember, just to share with the people, is that, Steve, you know that we're working on something right now. I'm not going to talk about that. But after once we're done doing this, I wanted to work on something involving with the islands. I think it's extremely important that what's happening in these waters and the essence of it. There's just one thing I would like to mention really quick, Stephen.
Jesse, you're taking a sidetrack. Tell what happened when you went to the marinas. Tell what happened when you went to the helicopter guy. Because, Doug, just obviously had plans. Go ahead. I want you to tell what the boat captain said to you and what the helicopter guy said to you when you went to La Paz.
Well, in both instances, they agreed at first. And it wasn't until, like, you know, the next day when I was, you know, pursuing the situation on a more serious note, they canceled on me. The dudes with the boats is like, no, we can't do this and this and that. It's too dangerous or whatever. At first they were in. And after that, you know, I started looking up places to see if they could rent me helicopters. And I found a couple different locations, and it was the same thing. They had agreed to take me to the islands because, you know, I believe that there's still stuff there for us to document for the people. I want to get as close as I possibly can to these entities because they're there every night. They're there now, except we can't see them because it's day. So when I tried to rent the helicopter, I was in contact with the owner to the company probably about a little bit close to 2 weeks, and he was going along with it. And just somewhere out of nowhere, he said, I can't do it. So of course we know that there's outside infiltration and interference coming in, and there always is. But like I said, at the end of the day, they're not going to be able to stop what God has already ordained.
Right. And Doug, I think the thing that I wanted him to bring out is due to a lot of, you know, the multiplied grace of Jesus, the multiplied people that he's brought into our lives, my life and Jesse's life, but other lives, they checked into it and they said, Steve, you guys, they knew you were coming. They knew Jesse was in La Paz. He said they either paid him off or they threatened him. Now, people, I don't believe that. You guys are being melodramatic. I'll tell you what. It's interesting, Jesse, because, again, every criticism that's coming at us isn't coming from the secular world. It's coming from, quote, jealous, hating claimants to Christianity. Is that a fair statement?
It's a very accurate statement, Steve. But you know, when we get to talking about those who are commenting on the work that God is doing for us, you know, God bless them, Steve. And we know that the book of Timothy says that wherever there is jealousy and envy and hatred, you know, those are demonic characteristics. You know, the first and second Timothy clearly state this. And you know, if that's how they want to respond to the work that God is doing in our life, the only thing that I could say to them and to anybody who is opposing the work that God is doing through us, because I don't just truly genuinely believe that God's hand is on this. I know that God's hand is on this, and there's no way that I can fight these entities in the way that I have been for the past 8-9 years without God reassuring me that I'm on the right path, without God showing up every now and then and letting me know, keep going, without God revealing a little bit, just a little bit, which is enough for me to know of what is to come. And something that is going to come and something that the listeners are going to see that the Lord has revealed to me is that the Lord is going to show up for us, Steve, and he's going to silence all of those who are speaking against our work through the evidence that he's going to continue to provide for us in the future.
If I can ask a question, okay, because we covered a lot of ground here, and we're pushing into overdrive, so we've got another 20 minutes, roughly. Now, does any of this relate to, for example, this activity, ley lines, and of course you spoke extensively about frequency, but I'll just ask that one question. What about ley lines, the energy lines?
Yeah, let me take that one on.
Go ahead.
Okay? The fallen angels have an energy grid. The power for that energy grid, believe it or not, originates in Antarctica. The ancients built all of the pyramids and all of their, quote, sacred places on the intersection of those ley lines. They have a lot to do with the effective positioning of stargates, portals, if you will. Now with things like, and this is important, this just underscores what Jesse's sharing, all of the Skinwalker Ranch video episodes, they've come to the conclusion that Skinwalker Ranch is a transversible wormhole. And they've used the most sophisticated equipment. And the rumors of that place, it's a giant, and I'm talking giant alien underground base, 60-some miles below it, are true. But you know what the standard manifestation of all evil is before it takes on a werewolf form or a skinwalker form? It's an orb. Everything is an orb. And for those of you that haven't watched Skinwalker, The Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch, it's magnificent because it's accurate, not because we say it's accurate, but they've used every known form of measuring stuff. And so why is this important? Because see what's happening? You've got mainstream knowing that there's other kind. No, I can't say that. Mainstream is dealing with wormholes now. Mainstream is dealing with stargates and portals. They're preparing the people. So when the, quote, alien saviors come on the scene, and by the way, concurrent with the, this is really important, concurrent with the revelation of disclosure, watch the Christian hate ramping up, because even the filthy UN is now saying Christians who don't take basically the mark of the beast won't be able to be members of society. They're talking about that. But what Jesse's talking about is the authority. And I told Jesse this. I said, Jesse, God raised you up to teach people their authority in Jesus. Also, science guy who is, you know, who's a gift in himself. But ladies and gentlemen, these are God's preparatory. If you don't want to deal with this stuff, that's your decision. But I'm telling you, you will be dealt with by this stuff. You will either deal with it and overcome it in Jesus, or people, my emails, Doug and Jesse, fill up with people going crazy, their words, over the manifestations of evil. But they need to be taught that through Jesus Christ, and that's why the people won't touch us until God releases us. They're afraid. They're afraid of the power of God exposing the power of evil, the power of God rising up in God's people, and the God's people saying, we're not going to take it anymore. And you take the slaughter of innocents. You take this child sex trafficking. You take the human bloodthirsty, blood-drinking devils, and you start confronting them with Jesus and watch the narrative change. But you know what? Christians don't want to go into the world of spiritual warfare, do they, Jesse?
They don't. They want to take their cues. They're taking their cues from the world. And I don't want to approach this and in a way where I'm just, you know, where I feel bad for them. Honestly, you know, it's like they want God without the supernatural. And, you know, God's character and his nature is supernatural. We're dealing with the supernatural realm coming at us from every angle, every direction, utilizing every element, utilizing every instrument, everything at their fingertips and at their disposal, they're utilizing it right now. And one thing about speaking of what's coming, Steve, that was a couple of years ago. It's not coming at us anymore. It's here and it's moving and it's operating from within our midst. There's different levels within the structure of how the world is set up, where these entities are operating hands on, pushing the events a certain direction. There's certain events or ceremonies that I've witnessed here off the coast, off the beach. Like, there's a lot happening in these waters. There is more that we're able to, there's more happening than I believe that we have the capacity to be able to understand. And I believe that this is one of those moments that if God was to show us exactly what is happening all at once, it would shock us. We would be unable to sustain the magnitude of how these entities are operating and how they intend to bring about the destruction of the human race. One thing I want to mention earlier, Steve, when I kind of got off track, apologize for that. Is that if we look into something that the whole world has witnessed and has been a testimony to, let's take a look. I think something that happened back in May. I'm not sure if it was in May or a little bit later than that, but you guys remember that there was a capsule called the Titan that went into the ocean where, you know, I believe it was a couple of individuals that were inside the submersible capsule. They were calling it a submarine. It was like a submersible capsule. That was no submarine. And they named this capsule the Titan. They were going to the location where the Titanic sunk. And the thing about it is, if we take a look at what they're revealing to us through these events, to me, the way I see it, it's demonic. I see the Titanic. Who are the Titans in Greek mythology? They were the sons of the gods, which we know as the giants. Okay, and the word Titan, of course, it gets more clear. And the Titan went to the bottom of the ocean where the Titanic was sunk. To me, that was nothing more than a sacrifice to the entities that are operating from within the waters and moving and operating also from within our midst. We also have to remember another verse that is always highlighted to me by the Lord is that this is one of the verses that you always say, Steve, but if we back up just a little bit, it says, if we back up one verse, it says the sea and the waves roaring, yes. Men's hearts failing them for fear of things that are coming upon the earth. And if we notice that, if we pay attention, when we read the scriptures, we're going to notice that the frequency of everything that happens, the ocean and the waters are being used as a picture before the structure, which is the manifestation of everything that it's accelerating here on the earth.
And by the way, to what you mentioned earlier about the Titan, that submersible, it was formerly known as Cyclops. I found that interesting, especially in view of the archaeological finds that you've uncovered. But that's just a little bit of trivia. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, as we're on the air, you guys, how cool is this? I'm reading a headline. I've sent it to Eric, you two, Doug, and Jesse. Peruvian villagers report attacks by 7-foot armored aliens resembling green goblins from Spider-Man. This is on MSN.com. Okay, I'm going to just read this real quick. Just a couple sentences. Terrified villagers in a rural district of Alto Nene, northeast of Lima, Peru, claim they are under attack by 7-foot armored aliens. Okay, and it goes on that they've sent the military in there. Since July 11th, this has been going on. So we're talking, you guys, today, and for the record, it's August 7th. Doug, you establish it. But the things of men's nightmares are now coming into the presence. And this is why it's so critical. Again, ladies and gentlemen, these are not just the headlines of the National Enquirer, which, by the way, Tommy Lee Jones made a statement. It's the only real news there was in one of the first Men in Black movies. But what we're saying is this, spiritual warfare is being laid out by an experienced spiritual warrior to show you that there is no fear and nothing to be afraid of in Jesus. But if you don't know Jesus, and even if you do and don't understand who the enemy is, how can you fight a war? And now we've got the war against Christians because we didn't fight back against the evil. The evil now is coming in to persecute Christians. And I pray, Jesse, I know it's your prayer and Doug's too. We all pray, Genesis 6 prays, that the truth will set men free, but free to take their victory in Jesus over every principality, over every power, every fallen angel, every demon, in the water, out of the water, all around. Amen. And in Jesus' name. And by the way, on frequency, one of the things, and I don't think anybody can say they've studied it harder or longer than I have, and that's just fact. It's not bragging. But frequency controls stargates opening and closings. That's what we've learned from the Native Americans. That's what we've learned from the ancients. And like, I'm surprised they don't have cobwebs on because they spend so much time in ancient history. But Jesse, the frequency even controls water, because what is water? Hydrogen and oxygen, and that's beyond our ability. So how much time does Jesse have to close it out?
Got about 12 minutes.
Okay. Oh, okay. We got more time. So deal with, as you've seen this stuff coming through gates, because again, Jesse, the photos you first gave to me, and we've shown them on Doug's show, of an actual Stargate opening with one of the advanced spacecraft coming through and then a flying saucer to the right. I don't know, where that image is right now, but that was supplied in the area of massive orb activity, was it not? Remember when you sent me the picture of the shaman or whatever with just literally 1,000 orbs?
I absolutely remember. That was from one of the dig sites when I was in my early stages of investigating the artifacts. And the thing is this, in addition to everything you just mentioned about the Stargate, Steve, is that another thing that I would just, that I would desire for people to know and to understand is that the biggest Stargate of an access point to these entities is us. We're the gatekeepers of these entities allowing them to enter or not enter and have access to everything that's happening around us. The reason why everything is the way that it is because the gatekeepers who God has entrusted have not been doing their duty. They have not been watching and keeping the gates for God, allowing these entities to come in. And that's why everything is out of control the way that it is. The heart and the mind are the biggest gates and the biggest entrance point in order for them to seduce us with whatever it is that they seduce people with, mainly power, riches, fame, etc., in order for them to come and move and operate in the way that they do. That's the biggest thing to me, Steve, is that they are here. In the way that I have been witnessing the activity, the movements over the waters, it's continuing to increase at an extremely rapid pace. And I believe that we're going to get to the point that it's going to get to a point where it's going to drive people crazy and drive people even more mad than what we're witnessing and what we're testifying to right now. I was doing some research on some images that I took, I think previously, probably about a couple months ago, no, about a year ago. And I was witnessing the orbs. I mentioned this the last time I was on. There was two orbs in the form of fallen angels, which the fallen angels move and operate according to the white balls of light. That's one of their major primary functions that I've when I study them, how I see them moving. And like I said, these orbs were moving within the boundaries of an atomic orbital, meaning that it was moving in a high, rapid pace, extremely high. And when I took these pictures, it was nothing in the likeness of how I thought that I seen, because within it's as if another dimension was operating in ours, but I was unable to see it when I was taking the images. And once I pulled up the images on my computer, there was the giants, the disembodied spirits, in the form of humans, but you could tell that they're twice the size as a regular man. And the reason why I was able to recognize them is because of the algorithm of the, and the outline of the colors that they use, the green, the red, the yellow. Like, each entity had an aura releasing the luminance of the same colors they use when they're operating in their default form of operation as the orb, or attaching themselves to a craft.
Wow. Okay. And just quickly, Steve, because we are as I said earlier, our DNA acts as a transmitter receiver as well. And, since you were talking about frequencies, by the way, I want to mention this, you know, the higher the frequency, the more, the lower the frequency, the less compressed the pattern is, the wave pattern, and the higher the frequency, the more compressed it is. So one, the lower frequency is associated more with fear and with despair and dejection, while the other one would be love and other things. Okay, so having said that, the electromagnetic field surrounding us, because we are electromagnetic kind of bodies.
Doug, each strand of our DNA has a different frequency. So that shows you the limitless, the absolute magnificence of God.
Amen.
But here's what a lot of people don't understand. The giants hunt humans by the frequency of their DNA.
And that's...
Out of an Englishman,
and that's where I was going with this, because is the injection, the woke poke kind of thing? Could this be factor into all of this somehow?
Absolutely. First of all, and I'll let you speak to. I'll speed this up. Yes, and that's the whole point of the dehumanization of the human genome as created by God in his image and likeness to absolutely destroy at seed level the seed of man. It's the war that comes from the book of Genesis, Genesis 3:15. People are fighting the wrong battlefield. The whole hellish injection, the whole surrender to murder by fear that has gone through the country, and who knows the hundreds of millions, and I'm using those numbers of people dead. Doug, that's what it's all about. The 5G towers, the whole thing. President Putin of Russia just forbid 5G towers due to what has taking place, but like antenna. You see, no one's addressing the antenna. These are 5G antennas. And what they're doing to human DNA, it is chromosomal corruption, is genetic geneticide, is eugenics, eugenicide. And what we're watching is a complete attack on the frequency. Let's make God in our image and likeness, the Father speaking to the Son. Jesus is the one that created all things, Colossians 1:16 and 17. So just again, the earth, if you read even the Psalms, it talks about the earth. This is why Christians must learn the power of the spoken word, not just the, oh, I hope nobody knows I'm a Christian. With our heart, we believe unto righteousness, but with our mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Our tongue, in alliance with the Holy Ghost and with the Word of God, becomes the ultimate weapon against all the powers of darkness and Satan himself. Resist the devil and he must flee. Not resist the devil and maybe he'll flee, resist the devil. And we're now, Doug, under the most supernatural, frequential attack that's ever been levied against the human race. So much so that Jesus said if it were possible, and if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, there'd be no flesh left alive. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the eugenicide. It is the annihilation of the human race that's taking place. And the argument's got to be brought out of the playpen, you know, well, we just get the right political leader. No, we've got the greatest leader in the universe. His name is Jesus. And Jesse, I mean, you're proving this. I mean, the entities know the power of the blood of Jesus. They know the name of Jesus, and they know who knows it, correct?
That's absolutely correct, Steve. And I think that's the biggest point that we could emphasize to anybody right now in this day, in this time, is that seek God with all of your heart, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money or how much weapons you have in your arsenal. At the end of the day, the power that's coming against us, the hostile, intense wickedness that is coming against everything that we stand for and everything that we believe, it cannot be pushed back with anything that we can attain outside of God's presence. It is only through the blood of Christ, and it is only through a relationship with God through Christ that we will be able to continue and survive everything that's coming at us, everything that's already here working against us.
Ephesians 6, UFOs, orbs, fallen angels, demons, and giants. No longer hidden. A more apt title, I don't think I could have thought of. Steve and Jesse, what a program. And Steve, you really drove that home. Man, you drove it home at the very end and kind of brought everything all together. This is all related. And Jesse, you're out there seeing more activity. You're in my prayers every day, and your fines, you're risking your life to do what you do. I know that. And Steve, you're risking it all too through your underwriting and directing of that whole process. And we're seeing more of this. And all we have to do is talk with people that I spoke with last night, and they're seeing more of this activity. So thank you for bringing this out and making people think, hey, look, I'm not crazy. I'm not the only one seeing these things, whether it be, you know, shadows or orbs or whatever it might be. And thanks for connecting it to current events in terms of the injecticide and the eugenicide. I like that. That's taking place. All right, gentlemen, thank you so very much. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, qfiles.tv. Also his, of course, private intelligence briefing. You've got to subscribe to that. Jesse, again, a man of courage, and I really admire and appreciate you. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
All right. That'll do it, folks. Have a great day.